Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back to the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, and we go worldwide to a worldwide audience, unbound by the traditional bounds of the broadcast media. It's so good to have you back again. And I want to thank everyone who sent their condolences. They're very much appreciated. Very much so. Thank you very much. Just a few words. My little sister, Michelle, had become a she was the caretaker for my mom and dad, who aren't getting any younger. And so the whole family was just shocked. And, shocked. But we all had a chance to get together for the first time in a long time. And we do not grieve like the heathen, knowing that one day we will all see each other once again, and that the judgment of Jesus Christ will be righteous. This much we know. And so we're able to move forward, to continue. You know, on the day I heard that my little sister Michelle had a heart attack and died, 47 years old. Well, that was last Sunday. And I did my Sunday thing. I was checking out the news sites, and it didn't make the news. It didn't make the news, and I didn't feel like there was any other news. There was no other news that day or that week for our family anyways. And so I was unable to come to you last week. And then, of course, I went back for the service for my little sister, Michelle, and now I'm back. And so there, I've managed to open the show, which I was not able to do last week. And so I know that there has been a lot of news. I know that there has been many, many, many things happening that everyone is very excited about and interested in. And I've been doing my best to try to get re-interested in things myself. And I'm not sure where to start. Should I start with Roy Moore? I hadn't commented on Roy Moore because I haven't been on the air since the accusations came out. Judge Roy Moore, you'll remember, was willing to sacrifice his position in government in order to take a stand for the Ten Commandments. And since these allegations came out against Justice Moore, a lot of people I respect have gone one way, and a lot of people I respect have gone the other way. Many people I respect believe the allegations. Many people I respect do not believe the allegations. And, when I heard about, what was his name, the Hollywood smut peddler, the very first one, the big one. No, not Bill O'Reilly. The other one, Harvey Weinstein. Well, when I heard about Harvey Weinstein, I was inclined to believe the allegations. Because, you know, when Democrats and smut peddlers like Weinstein, Matt Lauer, and others, when we hear accusations against them that they're creeps and lechers, molesters, and possibly even rapists, well, we tend to believe them because, well, look at the example these men have made with their lives. That's particularly Harvey Weinstein. The casting couch is a stereotypical phrase for a reason. So, of course, I believed Harvey Weinstein. I believed everything I heard about it. When it comes to a fellow like Roy Moore, my initial assumption was that it was not true, that these people were lying, that here's a guy who's been in government for 35, 40 years as a conservative. He's made a lot of enemies. He's in a hotly contested Senate race. Is it above suspicion that someone would would drum up false accusations? I don't think it's beyond suspicion. Is it beyond suspicion that Roy Moore had an unhealthy appetite for young girls in his younger days? I don't think that's beyond the question that that may be true. But certainly an unhealthy appetite for women, certainly nothing to disqualify him from the Senate. Now, it may disqualify him as a Christian leader, if the allegations are true. But certainly, an unhealthy appetite for young boys wouldn't disqualify one from the Senate of the United States. I'm just kidding. Actually, I'm just kind of trying to have fun with it. Anyway, my initial assumption was that it was lies. And I just need more than hearsay from 40 years ago to convince me that Roy Moore is some kind of deviant. That's all. So I guess I'll leave it at that. There you have Roy Moore. I respect people on both sides, people who believe the allegations and people who don't. I respect both sides. I myself have reserved judgment. I'm not willing to say because I'm not sure. That's all. It's one of the very few things in life that I am not sure about. So there you have it. What are the other major big stories? Well, I guess Roy Moore leads right into the overall national event around, the sexual molestation and rape of women that's coming out from all corners. Every day, it seems, someone else, someone famous, someone infamous. Charles Manson is dead. So there's one good thing from this past week. Charles Manson has entered into, I'm not sure where he is right now. I think he's not comfortable. He's not very comfortable right now, and it's going to get worse for Charles Manson. So we're glad that the death penalty finally was imposed upon Charles Manson, despite the best efforts of the American justice system to prevent it from being imposed. Yes. So, congratulations. Nicely done, Lord, in killing Charles Manson. That's one good thing. But now back to all these allegations against all these famous people. Scurrilous, distasteful. You can't watch the news with your kids. Of course, that's been true for... How long has that been true? Well, it's always been true in the McBurney household. But I heard another talk show host who I respect call what is happening a quasi-awakening. And I thought that was apropos because I think that's just about what America is capable of. Circa 2017 is a quasi-awakening. But what I think this shows is that when a society is drenched in sexual immorality for generation after generation, apparently the collective gag reflex of the women who've been abused and victimized will eventually vomit out their punishment upon the men who have molested them and raped them. And I think this really goes back to the ubiquitous presence of pornography in American society. I think there's always been a casting couch. I think men have always had a tendency to take advantage of women in the workplace. I'm not naive. But let's look what's happened in the past 64 years. You remember that Beatles song, When I'm 64? Do you remember that one? She has no idea about the Beatles, says my extremely attractive audio engineer. Joins me in the studio today, as always. Good to have you here. Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? Well, it was 64 years ago. Playboy magazine was founded by Hugh Hefner, who's also dead. Nicely played, Lord. imposing the death penalty on smut peddler Hugh Hefner as well. Glad to see that. So 1953, Playboy was founded. And back then, it was hidden behind the counter at the drugstore. Well, 1972, HBO comes along. And by the early 80s, there's basically a fire hose of pornography pouring into every home in America connected to cable television. By the early 90s, the internet became available widely to just about everyone. Meaning that same fire hose of pornography was now pumped into every home and office in America. Every hotel room, every home, every office. Smartphone came along 2007. Now the fire hose of pornography was in everybody's pocket, on everybody's desk, accessible 24/7. And so our civilization has been drenched in pornography and sexual immorality. Over the course of the Beatles' famous 64 years, we went from Playboy hid behind the counter to the fire hose of pornography in every home and office. And now it seems like it's making even those who have made their living dealing in it sick. Even they're getting sick of it. At least the women. And so, but I think a quasi-awakening is about all we're in for. Because I have the sneaking suspicion that at least among the leftists and the Democrats and the media types and the Hollywood types, all of the men who are accused today will be allowed to return to some degree to the industry that they built on a heaping pile of festering, stinking pornography. They will all be back. It's a quasi-awakening after all. It's not the real thing. So there you have that. Kate Steinle. Let's talk about Kate Steinle. Kate Steinle inexplicably shot and murdered by an illegal alien, Zarate, died in her father's arms. We've all heard the story. Well, in my opinion, this really is the poster child case for America's just a system. Because if I'm not mistaken, Zarate was convicted of possessing the gun with which Kate Steinle was actually shot and murdered. But he was not convicted of even manslaughter. Not even manslaughter. If he shot her by accident, was he shooting a sea lion? Did he unwrap a t-shirt? Did he drop it? It was a double-action pistol, by the way. Which, that's what I carry. Because they're inherently safe. Very hard to fire a double-action pistol by accident. But the jury system in San Francisco is a joke, and if you stock the jury with enough morons in San Francisco, apparently, you can convict a man of being in possession of the gun with which someone was killed, but you can let him off on all other counts. I hope the Justice Department brings federal charges against Zarate, and I hope he is tried and executed for what he has done. But the jury system is a sick, disgusting joke. And a joke is not, I don't even want to use the word joke. It's sick and disgusting and repulsive and revolting. Judges should judge. And judges should then be held accountable for their judgments. So whatever judge released this bastard back into society should be held accountable. And the jury system should be abandoned for what it is. A weak, pathetic, revolting, disgusting circus. Sickening. There. Kate Steinle. I hope the family of Kate Steinle sues San Francisco and the judges and everyone for everything they have. And again, I hope the feds bury this guy. But we'll see about that. All right. So were there any other big... I don't know that there were any. Yeah. Anything too? Oh, tax reform. That was the big issue. The Senate has now passed tax reform. The House has now passed tax reform. And now they're going to get together and wheel and deal. And I find it ironic that the only thing the establishment Republicans were willing to give Donald Trump was the tax win. Because, well, there was money involved. And when there's money involved, and money that can get them votes, well, the Republicans will get in line even with Donald Trump. But I get the feeling that when the House and Senate get together on tax reform and pass a final law, that it's going to be very, very good for the extremely large corporations. It's going to be extremely good for the poor and the welfare cases. It's going to be fairly good for the middle class. But for small business owners, grab your wallet, because I suspect it's going to be a bloodbath. I am Doug McBurney, your host. Welcome back. Hey, have we heard yet, with all the travails over at NBC regarding the quasi-awakening taking place amongst the young ladies of the porn generation? Have we heard from Lorne Michaels over at Saturday Night Live yet? Mm-hmm. Haven't heard from Lorne Michaels. Over. Lorne Michaels being quite possibly an actual direct descendant of Satan himself right here on Earth. He's probably signed a contract that protects him from any of that. Anyway, we'll see if we hear from Lorne Michaels on this. I haven't heard him speak up on anything yet. Let's go to the news of the day then, ladies and gentlemen. We'll start in the domestic tranquility file, where police in Redding, California, say that a group of people went out and searched for a Christmas tree, as people are often wont to do this time of year. Go out and try to find the perfect Christmas tree, and they happen to be in the forests of Shasta County. Well, they were looking for Christmas, but what they found was a partially clothed kidnapping victim instead. Yes, looking for Christmas, but they found a kidnapping victim. An appropriate introduction to the holiday season in 21st century America, in my humble opinion. Yes, yes. Let's see. The victim, a female, told investigators that two acquaintances of hers had kidnapped her, possibly because they believed she stole drugs from one of them. Yes. Meaning because she stole drugs from one of them, in my humble opinion. Anyway, America, if you're looking for a Merry Christmas, well, keep looking. Keep looking. Maybe you could go to Palm Springs, where they'll be having a very gay holiday season indeed, because the entire city council of Palm Springs, California, now is either transgender, bisexual, or homosexual. The whole student council there, as a matter of fact. Yes. Let's see. This is from the Decline and Fall file. The first openly transgendered candidate was elected to non-judicial office in California. Non-judicial. I think we'll address that here in a moment. Let's see. Because they had already elected a superior court judge, a tranny, back in 2010. But now they've elected their first openly transgendered freak of nature to a non-judicial office. What's the tranny's name? Christy or Chris. Or whatever. Let's see. So a tranny won one seat. A bi woman won another open seat on the city council. So now, according to, where did I get this story? I don't even know where I got this story. I cut off the heading. I'm sorry. This is from the Sun, whatever. Oh, the Desert Sun out in Palm Springs. The Desert Cities Council is now 100% LGBT or Q. Yeah, there you have it. Let's see. The tranny who won out there had retired, making to make the entire council LGBTQTGLSMFT. The tranny had retired from the California State Compensation Insurance Fund. She had been a member of the, or he, I don't even know what this is, but it had been a member of the board of directors over at the Desert LGBTQ Center as well, and the dyke. The other dyke who won the other open seat is an attorney who focuses on underserved communities, including the LGBTQ community, who are far from underserved. They've taken over the whole city council, for crying out loud. That's the opposite of underserved. They're overrepresented. let's see, but the dyke helped LGBTQ people, was an executive director at, let's see. Another, I don't know what this one was, Lisa Middleton. According to the Desert Sun, Lisa Middleton shattered the lavender ceiling in California this election day, breaking down barriers to become California's first trans non-judicial elected official. That's according to the president of Victory Fund, which is a pile of queers, who says, quote, trans people remain severely underrepresented in government nationwide. So Lisa's victory is important, not just for Palm Springs, California, but for the entire country. And indeed, I agree that it is important. It's another milestone along the highway to hell for California and the United States in general. And there you have it. A pile of homos has taken over the city council. And, well, they still insist that they're underserved and underrepresented and they're oppressed and abused and all of that. All right. So there you have that. What can you say about that? I don't even know who was the he's and the she's in that article. I don't know who was who or what was what. And that's where we are. We don't know who is who or what is what anymore. But let's go. Do I want to do this? We'll go to the justice file. We're out in Chicago. Chicago is approaching, I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of murders for this year, but they're certainly eclipsing last year's record, which eclipsed the year before, and Chicago just keeps rolling along, along that same highway that the LGBTQTSMFVD community is traveling along there, down there into the bowels of hell and the lake of fire and all of that. But out in Chicago, just days before, a young man was served with a court order barring him from coming near his father. That same young man murdered his 61-year-old father and then mutilated the man's body in the basement of his home. According to CBS in Chicago, he allegedly posted several selfies on Facebook. And then when you read the article, you can see the selfies that were allegedly posted, which means they were actually posted. But CBS says they were allegedly posted. This young man was facing a single count of first-degree murder in addition to possible charges for violating the order of protection that was taken out by his father. Lawyers are still working to see if he qualifies for charges for violating the order during the murder and mutilation. It's quite possible he did violate that order, but that's all alleged, and we don't want to pass judgment. Now, this man, Carlton, I won't even give his last name. I don't even want to give his name. This punk had been arrested 6 times on a variety of charges, including drinking on a street corner, stealing a pair of sunglasses, and snatching a 70-year-old woman's cell phone. After the third offense, he should have been put to death. Yeah, I know that stealing a cell phone is not a death penalty offense. I understand that. But multiple violations against the justice system must invoke the death penalty. People shall not be allowed to thumb their nose at justice. Because they might end up killing someone, which happened in this case. And so the entire judicial infrastructure of Chicago and Illinois in general has blood on their hands because this punk was allowed. Well, he did get his father did get a restraining order against him, but apparently it was not all that effective. The young alleged murderer who allegedly posted selfies after mutilating the body of his father was a graduate of Morgan Park High School, public school there in the greater Chicago metropolitan area. Okay. Speaking of public education, let's go now to reason number 1,112, in no particular order, of reasons to get or keep your children out of the government school systems, K through 12, all the way through graduate school. Just keep them out. Brown University made an announcement last week. The Brown University, which I think is Ivy League, am I right on that? I'm not too up to date on. Anyway, they made an announcement that they will now allow applicants to Brown University to self-identify as persons of color. Yes, if you can self-identify as a girl or a boy, why not as a black or a brown or a white? Well, wait, nobody will self-identify as white. No, it'll be all the white kids will self-identify as brown or black so they can get a break on their tuition. Or maybe they can get accepted even though their test scores stink. But let's say you're Asian and you come in and self-identify as white, well, you better knock out a 1500 on your SAT or you're not getting in. Unless you self-identify as transgendered, LGBTQ, that could be an option. The University of California, Davis, by the way, this is according to the College Fix where we took this story down. University of California, Davis, right now, already awards financial grants to students who identify as queers or as illegal immigrants. They pool them all together. You can either be illegal or you can be immoral, and in either case, we want you at UC Davis. In recent years, the College Fix reports that several all-women's colleges have permitted men who identify as women to apply. And some sororities within those universities have followed suit. So again, we're at a point in the program where we don't know who's who or what is what or what is happening. So is it any wonder that that we're experiencing convulsions of earth-shattering stories of sexual immorality pervading our society? When sexual immorality seems to be the obsession of virtually everyone in control of the levers of power, whether civil or judicial or entertainment or cultural, they're all obsessed with sexual immorality all the time. So is it any wonder that we find out everyone is molesting everyone? Which is how it seems to me, just as an outsider looking in. I know, it's just the men. Right now, we're hearing about the men who are molesting the women. But this is the tip of the iceberg. And you can bet that there are enormous efforts happening right now to prevent the iceberg itself from being revealed. Because if that iceberg ever comes out, every ship goes down. So let's move on. That was reason number 1,112. To get or keep your children out of the government schools, they may be allowed to self-identify as anything they want, no matter how insane. So there, just stop it. All right, let's go now quickly to the justice file, where out here in Colorado, Breitbart reports that 31-year-old Brock Franklin was indicted for a couple of years ago for operation of a prostitution ring of young girls, many of whom he kidnapped. Well, he was found guilty on November 21st in the Arapahoe County Court here in the Denver metro area. He was convicted on 30 counts, including human trafficking, exploitation of a child, child prostitution, and kidnapping, among many other charges. And the judge handed down, was it the judge or a jury? I got to look here. Judges hardly judge anymore, so the judge handed down a 472-year prison sentence. 472 years, I said. And we have a quote here from the Colorado Attorney General's office, their spokesperson, Janet. Janet says, quote, a 400-year sentence sends a strong message across the country that we're not going to tolerate this kind of violence to women and vulnerable populations. 400 years, it's a strong message. All right, Janet, tell your story walking. The only message you're sending is that, in fact, we will tolerate this type of violence. You fool! This is the Weekly Worldview. Welcome back. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you all being here. Have we heard from Lorne Michaels yet? I'm checking the wire. Haven't seen a statement from Lorne Michaels yet, but we will bring it to you just as soon as that crosses the wire, so to speak. Now, to get back to this 472-year ridiculous, stupid, ludicrous sentence handed down against Brock Franklin. Do you think Brock Franklin, do you think he cares whether he even lives or dies? He's a piece of human offal, and now he knows he's going to live out the rest of his days in relative comfort. Yes, he will sacrifice some measure of his freedom, but he was never free anyways. He's a career criminal and a dirtbag and a piece of garbage. He's a slave to his own sinful desires, so he was already in prison. He should have been put to death and introduced immediately without warning to the living God so that he could receive the just penalty for his crimes. And until our justice system begins introducing capital criminals to God personally and quickly and painfully, the only message we send is that we will in fact tolerate violence, kidnapping. What were the charges here? Let's see. We are going to tolerate human trafficking, exploitation of children, child prostitution, and kidnapping, among many other charges. That's what we're going to tolerate. That's the message that Brock Franklin got, because he's still going to be tolerated here on planet Earth, and he should not be. So there. Now, let's move on to something a little more uplifting from the Science File. The Express in London reports that British scientists are developing an immune therapy based on blood cells from patients who have made what they call miracle recoveries from cancer. Yes, they extract the cancer-killing immune cells from donor blood, and then they multiply it by the millions and millions. And they, it's working, and it could signal not only better treatment for cancer, but also, one day, a possible cure, and I believe it will. If we can keep civilization from falling into the hands of the maniacs and those who self-identify as insane people, we will cure cancer. And it will be through immunotherapy, targeted therapies. This particular therapy involves neutrophil cells, which form part of the body's first line of defense against foreign invaders. Such cells are believed to be a key reason why some people spontaneously and inexplicably shrug off lethal cancers giving rise to those headlines you see, a miracle recovery from cancer. Well, it's not really a miracle. It's the human immune system as designed by the living God. So researchers are now preparing for early trials on human patients. The team is focusing first on pancreatic cancer because the lead researcher on this particular team, his mother, lost a battle with pancreatic cancer back in 2014. And so the lead researcher, Mr. Blythe, I really do want to get his name here. I should have done it. Alex Blythe, chief executive of Lyft Biosciences. Oh, he's not one of the researchers. He's one of the businessmen who are funding the research. And because he lost his mother to pancreatic cancer, that's where he's decided to go. God bless him. I think it's awesome. Mr. Blythe's team at King's College has collected thousands of neutrophil cells. Listen to this. The cells were previously discarded as an unwanted waste product by blood banks. And Mr. Blythe and his team are now screening them for cancer-killing potential. Isn't that amazing? That something that was being discarded in the past now may hold the key to curing certain types of cancer. It's just amazing. The researchers are also working on a way of tweaking the cells to make them even more potent. How are they doing that? Well, they're looking at the sophisticated design of the cells, and they're figuring out how to match those neutrophils, antibodies against cancers. And, in my opinion, immunotherapies in general are going to expose the fact that medicine in general has been hampered by 150 years of evolutionary biology. Generations of doctors have been trained that everything evolved through accident or happenstance or genetic mutations. But these same researchers are achieving incredible breakthroughs despite themselves and despite their education and despite their godless, ludicrous worldview that everything evolved by accident. Because their research is not evolving by accident, I can assure you of that. And I would guess that there's an awful lot of researchers in medicine who in their heart of hearts know for a fact that this was all designed. And it's very impressive, as a matter of fact. But I believe targeted therapy will be one of the... it'll just be one of the factors that collapses the Darwinian myth. And then come the aliens, yes. And then, yes, what? Yes, what did he say? Then come the aliens. What did he say? Then come the aliens. That was it. Yeah, so I was supposed to turn that. Now come the aliens. All right. I'm a little rusty, folks. Give me a break, okay? I'm trying my best here, and I appreciate you bearing with me. Don't get me wrong. Let's go now to reason number 1111 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. They might get blown up next to the principal's car. Yes, an explosive device was attached to the car of a Massachusetts high school principal's Jeep, and it exploded back on November 16th in what police have called a targeted act. Yes, and that's pretty much all we know. Why? Well, I tried to follow up on this story. It's 2 weeks old, but there's no other reportage. Because of all the other bloodshed and murder and mayhem that's going on, nobody has a chance to follow up on this stuff except the local police. The newspapers are on to the next bloodbath. So the fact that someone planted a bomb and tried to blow up the principal there in a Boston area high school, Bellingham, Massachusetts, well, it's just hard to follow up, that's all. The public school's Facebook page there in Bellingham, they posted a message saying that it is their duty to ensure the safety of our students and staff. And yeah. Okay. And if you buy that, well, I've got some oceanfront property in Arizona. I think that was a country song from the 80s. Can you name that artist? She cannot name that artist. I can't remember. It was country. She weren't listening to a lot of country music in the 80s, from what I understand. Well, the 80s was when country music was pretty much ruined. I mean, Garth Brooks pretty much destroyed country music. Yeah. Yeah, despite the best efforts of everyone, it's languished, and now it's degenerated. I hear, I was driving back to Buffalo with my Uncle Joe. Uncle Joe refuses to drive. He's an older guy, and did I say he refuses to drive? No, he doesn't mind driving, trust me. He refuses to fly. So we drove from Denver to Buffalo in two 14-hour stretches that is mind-boggling. He's up at 4 in the morning kicking me out of bed. Let's go, let's go. Wow. So anyway, we're scanning the radio, as one might do, you know, and half the country music stations sound like really bad regurgitated hair metal from the 80s. At least the guitar and the drums and stuff. So I don't know how I got off on that. I got nothing personal against country music. I grew up on country music. So the whole obsession with adultery, though, always made me uncomfortable. Well, it didn't always make me uncomfortable. It started making me uncomfortable after I became a Christian and became a follower of Jesus Christ. I realized that all these country songs were basically glamorizing adultery. And drunkenness. And so, well, so take that for whatever it's worth. I know, hair metal was no better, don't get me wrong. The whole pop culture in general has been the engine that has driven the lava dome that is erupting now around the sexual immorality that pervades all of society. It's erupting like a super volcano. I'm checking the wire. Nothing from Lorne Michaels? Lorne Michaels? Nope, nothing from Lorne Michaels yet on the allegations and suspicions and, documented molestations and even rapes. Nothing yet from Mr. Michaels. We'll see if we hear from him. Let's go now, though, here on the Weekly Worldview, to reason number 1,110 in no particular order to get or keep your children out of the government schools. In Portland, Oregon, parents say they are standing up. They are standing up against forced gender ideology in schools. That's right. In Portland, according to Breitbart, parents have filed a federal lawsuit over the school district's policy that allows a female who claims to be a boy to use the boys' locker room and bathroom. Well, parents are standing up, yes. And to all you parents out there, I would say if you need to file a lawsuit to keep the queers and the perverts out of the bathroom, maybe you should think about not sending your kids there. That's all. I mean, if I thought a lawsuit was necessary, I might just stop dropping the kids off. That's all. The lawsuit is similar to another one that was filed in Palatine, Illinois last year, where a judge ruled that high school students do not have a constitutional right not to share restrooms or locker rooms with transgender students whose sex assigned at birth is different than theirs. That's one of the most confusing couple of sentences I've ever read in my entire broadcast career, which goes back almost 20 years. I've rarely been this confused. Let's try this again. So the lawsuit in Portland, where parents are standing up, it's not the first one. A similar lawsuit was filed in Illinois last year, where a judge ruled that high school students do not have a constitutional right not to share restrooms or locker rooms with transgender students whose sex assigned at birth is different than theirs. I don't get it. I'm confused and I don't understand what happened. I'm sorry. I consider myself a relatively intelligent person, and I know how to read, but I have no idea what that means. We care a lot.
Don't have time, boys. We just
don't have time. Put the guitars away. Put the guitars away. It's time to get back to the show as we here at the Weekly Worldview, riding the crest of the quasi-awakening, hopefully into a friendly port of perhaps a genuine awakening in which the fire hose of sexual immorality and pornography would be shut off at its source. And people would be arrested and tried and cast into prison for what they've done in creating a culture in which women, and men, by the way, can be so dehumanized in a hyper-sexualized society. Yes, we're riding the crest, so thank you for coming along. We go now to Miami, Florida, where Florida health officials, according to CBS down there, Florida health officials on November 3rd have officially identified the first sexually transmitted case of Zika. That's right. No mosquitoes were involved. No, the person had, they had not traveled. But their partner, that makes me sick. Their partner had recently traveled to areas where Zika was, and both have now tested positive for Zika. Health officials stress that there is no evidence of ongoing active transmission of Zika anywhere in Florida. Well, except this case, that's some evidence, but we're just going to leave that aside, apparently. There you have it. We've suspected all along that Zika was a sexually transmitted disease here at the Weekly Worldview. And now we have some evidence, or maybe no evidence, depending on how you want to read that. But you take that for what it's worth. Now, let's go to the Real Science File. Another uplifting story. This is reported by the Mercury News out, I believe that is in San Jose. Dateline London, Dr. Michelle DeLuca of the University of Modena in Italy. Is doing research, was working on a little boy, 7 years old, hospitalized back in June of 2015. He had blisters all over his limbs and his back, everywhere. He went into the hospital, he lost about 60% of the outer layer of his skin and was put into an induced coma. That seven-year-old boy. The boy had a rare incurable skin disease called junctional epidermolysis bullosa. Caused by genetic mutations. This is what genetic mutations do. They don't lead to an advanced civilization. They don't lead from the goo to the zoo to you. Genetic mutations lead generally to diseases. Well, and this little boy had it. People with this disease lack critical proteins that attach the outer layer of the skin to the inner layer, resulting in almost constant blisters and open sores. Oh, just awful. His parents were told that he might not survive the complicated surgeries that were needed to save him. Can you imagine hearing that about your seven-year-old? I can't even comprehend the pain and suffering. I'd rather have all my limbs chopped off with a dull hatchet slowly than hear that about my seven-year-old. So what happened was doctors took a small piece of the boy's skin from an area that was not affected by the disease. And in the lab, then they added a normal version of his bad gene to his skin cells, and then they started to grow sheets of the boy's skin. So in total, they grew close to a quarter of a meter of skin. The lab-grown skin was then transplanted onto the boy in three operations, covering 80% of his body. After 8 months, nearly all of the boy's skin had been generated by the modified stem cells, and the boy basically grew new skin that was genetically manipulated in the lab. Glory to God for his design. I guarantee you none of the researchers involved in this case thought that they stumbled accidentally on a mutation that saved this boy's life. Not a single one of them. In fact, the level of design and sophistication around the procedures, the research and the science involved in this case are astonishingly brilliant, is what they are, reflective of the astonishingly brilliant design of the Creator God, of the human body and human genetics and the human immune system, all of it. Anyway, you don't have to take my word for it. The details of this case were published, 2 weeks ago, About 2 weeks ago in the journal Nature, which from what I understand is a reputable journal when they're not obsessed with evolutionary biology. When they report on actual science like this, they are, from what I understand, quite reliable. Let's go now back into the, well, this is reason number 1,109, to get or keep your children out of the government schools. This is from Dayton, Ohio, the Dayton, Ohio area. A substitute teacher charged with two counts of sexual battery against two high school students. Yes, this was a substitute teacher. And the superintendent there sent a letter to all the parents in the district saying that, this teacher had only worked as a substitute, and only as a substitute aide, and only as a substitute teacher, and only within the past year. And we were unaware of any incidents. We were unaware of any incidents or any other red flags. No, we didn't know about the red flags. The teacher has been removed from Fairmont High School there in the Dayton, Ohio area. No red flags, really? You know, living in the world today, in my opinion, is a red flag. If you're alive today in this culture, immersed in pornography and sexual immorality, and you want to teach in the public schools, that, to me, that's a red flag. I know, isn't it? How jaded can you be? Well, that's how jaded I am. So I would suggest to you parents with young kids, don't risk it. If the school can't see the red flags, you can't see the red flags. We're all covered with red flags. There's red flags everywhere. So keep your children at home and educate them and bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And by the teaching of the reading and the writing and the arithmetic and the history, that's actually not that difficult. You can pull it off. The school district sent home a note, of course, to parents. Of course. The school district there in the Dayton, Ohio area said, "The safety of our students is always our number one priority. We strive to have the best staff in all positions in our district. If you have any further information on this situation, please don't hesitate to let us know." A little Freudian slip there introducing the idea of hesitation. Do you think there are any parents, if they knew that there was a child molester at their school, that they would hesitate? But the school says, please don't hesitate. Why introduce the concept of hesitation, Mr. Superintendent? Are you afraid of what you might hear? Believe me, nobody's going to hesitate. Well, except the molesters. All right. We go now. How much time? We're almost out of time. We go into the decline and fall file, where Breitbart is reporting that this is good old Scotland. Over in Scotland, the Equality Secretary, Angela Constance, has said, quote, "Scotland rightly has a reputation as one of the most progressive countries in relation to LGBTI legal and human rights equality in Europe. But we need to do more to progress equality for the transgendered." By golly. I thought Scotland had a reputation for getting drunk and starting fights. That's the old fashioned. No, that's just old fashioned sin. This is the new style. We're going to advance the equality for the transgendered. So we're going to introduce a system of self-declaration which would enable people to change their gender by signing a declaration. That's all you'd got to. No surgery required. No hormones. Just sign a paper. We'll go along with whatever you think, no matter how insane you are. And we're sober as judge. That's as a matter of fact. They're not even drunk, and they're doing this. At least if they were drunk, you could at least... you could say, well, he was drinking at the time. He wasn't thinking clearly. Oh, I'm sorry. The Equality Secretary is Angela. Although for me to assume that it's a female, it's probably in violation of some European diktat in support of the equality of transgender people. Yes. Oh, so this isn't official yet, just so you know. This is just a statement by the Equality Secretary. These are, according to Breitbart, these are options that are under consideration by the Scottish government, which means that it's just a matter of time before they become implemented. Yes. I'm just going to leave that aside because there's a lot of things I could say that might not be appropriate. So let's go. Well, let's continue into the decline and fall file. Let us slide down the backside of the crest of the quasi-awakening deeper into the decline and fall file, where the Church of England now says that boys as young as five should be able to wear tiaras or a tutu or high heels. They actually mention a tutu and high heels. Nobody wears a tutu. Even girls don't wear tutus, do they? What kind of freak pervert is this writing statements for the Church of England? He brings up a tutu. They say that children, boys as young as five, should be able to dress in tutus and high heels without any comment or observation, according to anti-bullying rules sent out by the Church of England last week. Yes, yes. Let's see. The school said they should not require children to wear uniforms that create difficulty for trans pupils. Trans pupils? I thought that was a reference to cross-eyed people, but it's not. It's students who've been psychologically and spiritually molested by their parents and by their school teachers to think that maybe they're not a boy or a girl, or maybe they're not sure. They're trans, so they don't want them to wear uniforms that create difficulty. Well, what uniform wouldn't create difficulty if you're a trans pupil? I mean, if you identify as a boy and you go in the boy's uniform, but then you decide to identify as a girl, well, now you've got a problem. And that's vice versa. They're going to have to let them come to school unclothed altogether in order to avoid any problems. And that's probably the goal of the Church of England, in my humble opinion. And I don't want to implicate that anyone in the Church of England is any kind of sex pervert, except maybe like almost all of them, in my humble opinion. Schools have also been told by the church that these are apparently Church of England schools. I have no idea. Maybe this is the public schools in England are all run by the church. I don't know, because the Church of England is basically a secular organization that has evolved up around cruising. From what I understand, schools are also told they cannot use the Bible to justify behavior that is considered bullying. For example, identifying a transgendered pupil by a sex other than the one that they have chosen. Well, I appreciate the fact that they recognize that that can trace itself back to the Bible. How do we know that we're men and women? Because of the Bible. Well, and then there are other fairly obvious, I thought. But the Bible is definitely a solid, reliable source of knowing who you are, where you came from, and where you're going. And so they don't like that. The Church of England does not like the Bible. It's official. They've said don't use the Bible to insult mentally deranged or victims of social molestation. Let's see, the official teaching now of the Church of England, however, remains that homosexual acts are sinful. And the church also says marriage is between a man and a woman, and believe me, it's just a matter of time before that goes by the wayside. And that is the decline and fall file. Now, reason number 1107, to get or keep your children out of the government schools, we go to Arkansas, where the Pickett School District in Arkansas is set to add the phrase, "In God We Trust," to posters that will appear in all public school classrooms. That's right, they're going to put a poster that says "In God We Trust" on all the classrooms. In all the classrooms. Yes, Arkansas passed a state law allowing posters featuring the national motto, state flag, and the U.S. flag in the classrooms. And so hapless Christian parents who send their kids to the government schools have raised $300 to purchase posters for every classroom in the Pickett, Arkansas school district so that they will have the motto, "In God We Trust," in every classroom. It is on the money. That's the national motto. In God we trust. And it must raise up to heaven like a stench in God's nose to see that In God We Trust will be in every classroom in the Piggott, Arkansas school district, and as well on the money, the same money that Harvey Weinstein used to pay all the women whose careers he built after he molested them. It must stink to high heaven, so to speak. So basically, the parents in Piggott County, Arkansas, are going to put a Band-Aid on the festering, spewing wound of godlessness, of the godlessness of their public schools. They're gonna plaster over it with a Band-Aid. They're gonna put In God We Trust. And that's reason number 1107, to just get out, flee if you can, be ye separate from them. Finally, from the sad religion file, we go back to the United Kingdom, where a prominent Anglican cleric and faggot being the British terminology for, what's this guy's name here? The very Reverend Kelvin Holdsworth has written an article in which he is asking Christians to pray for Prince George. Prince George is the 4-year-old, very cute, obviously heterosexual, normal child. The son of, whoever those two are there. So the very Reverend Kelvin Holdsworth is praying that, what does his prayer say? Oh, he's praying that Prince George grows up to be a faggot like him, and that he finds romance and gets married to an attractive young man. So this fag is praying for a 4-year-old to grow up to be a fag. Now, shouldn't that be a criminal offense? Holdsworth, Kelvin Holdsworth, is the provost of St. Mary's Cathedral in Glasgow and belongs to the Scottish Imperial, the Scottish Episcopal Church that voted in June to let its priests solemnize, and I'm sober as a judge, I'm telling you, I haven't even been drinking. We voted in June to let priests solemnize same-sex marriages. And Mr. Holdsworth apparently wants that expanded to include 4-year-olds, for which his door should be kicked in and he should be arrested. So oddly enough, the same homosexual reverend in January permitted a reading from the Quran during a service at his church, which included a rebuttal of the Christian belief that Jesus was the Son of God. Well, are we to be shocked? He's thrown out everything there is to be godly. And of course, that's sad religion. This is the Weekly Worldview. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com, my friends at American Right to Life, and of course, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen here at the Weekly Worldview. Should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.